From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Popper as we get into the Christmas spirit. Although I did spill my sorry. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the glorious Tatchy Mountains here in Poprad, hence the name of the programme. The sideways alternative look at the news. And I can tell you this morning my car was red. Now it's white. That's how much snow we've got. And if you look on my Facebook thing, minus 15 as I went to the office yesterday morning. It was as chilly round the gills as that this morning. Over in the warm, muddy, sort of squirmy part of Europe, it's Lee Banks.
Yes, and it's very chilly around the Balearics too, here.
How cold is it?
How cold's what, Doc?
How cold is it where you are?
Put a thermometer in there and just tell us.
Yes.
It is actually quite chilly. It's like going to a Mexican thing. It is so chilly, it is making your little bits and pieces tingle.
I think I'll mute him. Over in the doggy doo doo land of Europe, it is Mark Gander.
Well, hello there, yes. And it's not so doggy doo doo at the moment because it's pouring down with rain. Mm. And actually, Rachel doesn't know this really, but in fact, the streets of Paris are covered in the brown stuff. Because they produce the doggy brown stuff in industrial quantities all over here. It is shocking. But it's all been washed off at the moment. But it's quite cold, and of course it's grey. But there we are. Anyway, hello everybody.
Thank you, Mark. And down sweltering with all of her bits so hot you wouldn't believe it.
Don't cheapen the show.
It's young Rachel in Queensland.
Hello.
Hello.
It's really warm. It's about 34 degrees and 90% humidity. So it's
What time of the day is that?
It's what time of the day is it that hot?
Yes.
Usually up until about 8 o'clock at night.
Right. What's it like in the middle of the night then?
In the middle of the night, it's all right. It's about 24.
Oh dear. Oh, tough life. Oh, my word. Anyway, let's get on. Got to say hi, guys, to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, RTI, you lovely folks on Audio Boo, and wherever else you happen to be listening to you. As I said, the alternative sideways look at the news with us four as we head to the Christmas period. But we start off with the sad news of the week, as we always do, because Ravi Shankar has died in hospital aged 92. And the only thing I can really remember about Ravi Shankar is he played something with the Beatles once.
Well, what a load of insulting rubbish that
is. That's true. That's what I remember.
I will translate, ladies and gentlemen. That bit at the beginning, which was absolutely uncalled for, that...
Well, that's what it's like. That's the guitar he plays.
It's not. It's called the sitar.
Well, he can sit down while he's playing it.
It's got citrus in it. It's called that. And Ravi Shankar didn't only play with the Beatles. He plays with Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, one of India's greatest musicians ever.
Hang on a minute. Well, can you say that again really, really fast?
Which? Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He's one of the greatest singers India's ever had. And Ravi Shankar he's played with everybody. He did that big concert where... Anyway, he's dead and we should show respect. He was 92.
Good on him. What a good innings.
Good innings, yeah.
I feel really happy now.
Let me say, I don't think he actually played with the Beatles. I mean, he didn't play as part of the Beatles band. He happened to most famously play in a concert, in the same concert that the Beatles were playing in.
I thought he played on one of the tracks where the sitar was used.
I'm not sure.
I know that George Harrison would play the sitar. I can't remember which one it is, but in fact he played the sitar and Ravi Shankar described it as terrible.
Ah, right.
Is it the sixth Beatle or what?
No, I've been on telly with the fifth Beatle. Different bloke altogether.
Is that like a cockroach?
I see. It's very good. Yeah, go on, give us the background, Lee.
The background is very simple. Ravi Shankar was an Indian avatar musician. He had raised the roof in India on sitar playing.
It's Lee's phone.
And in the early 60s, the Beatles went across to Rishikan in just outside the Himalayas, on the Himalayas, where they met the guru, whose name completely escapes me, who introduced them to Ravi Shankar, who then taught them how to play the sitar. The only one who really took it up was George Harrison, who then used Ravi Shankar on a series of his albums as a backing musician. But Ravi Shankar, I saw him quite a while ago, obviously, he toured Britain and toured Europe and America in his own right. He was a good egg.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it? Sadly, we've lost one of the stalwarts of British broadcasting this week, Sir Patrick Moore, who I have to say is one of the... He just is one of the most amazing broadcasters, and I think he's probably somebody that actually is known worldwide.
I think
yes,
he
that's
is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Go on, Rachel.
I do know who he is, and he had this really cool monocle.
Rachel, you're quiet.
Yeah, I can hardly hear you, Rachel, yeah.
Yeah, you need...
Shall I try again?
Oh, that's better.
he had a very, very cool monocle, if I recall.
That's right.
And he was, yes, quite the eccentric. Yes, that's no idea. he was quite the eccentric, I'm led to believe.
Just a little bit, yes.
He was a bit eccentric. He was actually a friend of mine. I know I have lots of friends. Unfortunately, most of them are dead now.
Yes.
But Patrick Moore was actually a friend. I interviewed him about 20 years ago.
Right.
About his life and his lifestyle. And he lived in this beautiful little cottage in, I've forgotten the name of the place now, but it was down south and it was beautiful. And he got this massive garden, which was always filled with astronomy experts who would just converge there, and Patrick would take them in, give them cups of tea. But he told me this absolutely tragic story, which most people don't know about. I did write about it. That's why I know most people don't know about it. Mm-hmm. He lived alone. He was a bachelor. And the reason was that he only ever had one love in his life.
Oh.
And she got killed in the Blitz.
Oh, blimey.
And he dedicated his life to her. And one reason that he used to watch the stars and watch space was to see if he could actually see her passing by.
Aww. Oh, isn't that nice?
No, isn't it? Lovely. I'll just make that bit up to make it interesting. Yeah, romantic, wasn't it?
Anyway, Brian May, who was also a friend of his, the Queen guitarist, said he wrote dozens of books on astronomy. His research was used by the US and the Russians in their space programs, and I think that'll probably happen with just about every other space organization because he was just such a clever man and the ultimate broadcaster.
He
just had this way with him where he could almost break all the rules of broadcasting but get away with it.
Yeah, I think that was his most important contribution, actually. I mean, he really brought, you know, the whole business of astrology to... did I say astrology? I meant astronomy.
Thank you, yeah. It's not Russell Grant, you know.
Astronomy. He brought the whole business of astronomy, I think, to, you know, to the ordinary public. And I think that was fantastic.
Indeed so. More tragic deaths, I'm afraid, as the Hawkwind guitarist Hugh Lloyd Langton has died age 61. Had a rather long battle with cancer and sadly lost that battle. But, of course, Hawkwind, yeah, like them, good rock band. Yeah.
Brilliant. And there we have it, another one riding the midnight train to Slab City.
Well, not Georgia, that's for sure. And finally on this little section, somebody that sort of saved us so much time over the years and also makes your shopping so much easier is the man that invented the barcode, Norman Woodland. He died at his New Jersey home aged 91.
Yeah. Hello! Man who invented the barcode has reached his sell-by date.
Oh, very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
Do they bury him or do they scan him?
they scan him in, actually.
Just dig him up and put a red sticker on the front and say nearly out of date. Yeah.
Well, you just think how much... He's a wonderful... Just think how much time, fellas, he saved us at shopping when we have to take Rachel shopping. Does.
Yeah. No, it's very, very important. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, the amount of statistical data that everybody's able to gather, which I suppose is enormously useful. And I mean, it's been sensational. They reckon what, I think something like 4 million barcodes are scanned every day.
Five billion? 5 billion.
Yeah, I said billion.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
Four, not five.
But yep. I don't think this has saved us time.
Why?
Because it hasn't. If you think, right, now, it's part of this. It's entirely to blame.
Oh, here we go. We're off on the shaggy dog story.
No, serious. This is a serious point from a serious tabloid journalist, right?
Mm.
Right. What happens now? What happens now is that you pay by card, by a barcode, yeah?
Right.
Well, what happens is that you have to do your like, whatever you do with your barcode thing, you have to drag it across it so it goes bloop, or yeah. whatever, it goes bloop, yeah. like that. And most of the time, it doesn't work. It actually doesn't work. Most of the
bloops
never actually come.
Where are you shopping?
Yeah.
I'm shopping every day.
Well, I'm sorry.
Downtown, are you shopping in downtown Damascus or something?
Absolutely.
On.
Well,
only if I'm looking for... No,
Mr. Banks is going to hate this. You're going to hate this, Lee.
It doesn't
Lee.
Work.
Lee.
The scanning thing doesn't work. And
Lee.
Then,
Lee. Lee.
What?
I was brought up in a shop.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No, I was brought up in a kennel.
Yeah, probably. My late father had the village post office and shop and all the stuff of it.
You like, had a barcode thing in it when you were growing up.
Oh, no, it took blinking ages. You had to go... And then you didn't have the price, so you had to look it up in the book. Then you had to do that. And you're standing there for half a year, whereas if I'd have gone, zoom, 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 I'd have been there twice as quick.
No, because what happens? You do it, it doesn't click. And then you have to pay by card. Then your card doesn't work. So every
well, that's
I know why it's not working. I know why it's not working, Lee. It's the metal plate in your head. It's interfering with all the equipment around you.
No, Rachel. No, Rachel is wrong. The fact is...
I'm not wrong!
The fact is, you have to put some money on your card before you can pay with it.
Every transaction in this world, ladies and gentlemen, not just in my head,
yeah.
in this world,
yeah.
takes longer than it has ever taken before because of barcodes and because of credit cards and because of things that go wrong. Our world...
Hang on, you missed one out, Lee. Lee, you missed one out.
Pardon?
You missed one out.
What?
Things that go bump in the night.
I'm not talking about your sex life because things like that, I'm shit.
Right, anyway, he says, moving along, Gangnam Style dance confirms the end of the world.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you take the mickey out of this because I tell you what, the thunderbolt will get you first.
Why?
Well, what's happened now? You know, we had these people, the Rastafarians or whoever it was, it wasn't them, but who were saying that it's the end of the world in 10 days' time. 21st of January, which is actually 5 days' time, is when the world will end. And NASA
it was the Mayans. It wasn't the Rastafarians.
I don't say that ever get anything right, Rachel.
Hang on a minute. Plus the fact you said 5 days' time, yeah?
Yeah, well, no, I got that wrong as well, but I couldn't correct it.
You're just having a bad day, man.
No, I'm not. This is just normal. Just people are picking me up. It's normally they don't.
Where does this piece of news come from?
I have no idea.
Nonsense. What are they saying? From the calm morning, the end will come when of the dancing horse... The
no,
number of circles will be 9. Whoop. Gangnam Style.
NASA say Style. That the world won't end, but the Doomsday Association have gone back through Nostradamus, if you get that ideology,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
and found that in Nostradamus it says,
yes.
from the calm morning, the end will come, when of the dancing horse, the number of circles will be 9. Well, that's...
Pie, spice.
The one who does Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Yes.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Well, he does a horse's dance.
Yeah, well, it was at the end of the world really should have been when that
came out. That started about 6 months ago.
A piece of music was released.
Yeah.
Like the end of the world should have come then.
The world's going to commit suicide because of precise.
Yeah.
Crap record, Gangnam Style.
Unless it's called Gangnam Style.
Middle class people would enjoy it.
Yeah, but has he got the right barcode on it?
Exactly. That's the problem. No, that's it. Barcode, sell-by date, that's it. Dead. We're all dead because of size, Gangnam Style.
All right, okay. Yeah, fine. Right, anyway, moving along, he says, apparently this is going to upset people because the Queen told the people off in the banks.
Oh, I know, naughty Queen.
Uncle Mark.
The Queen's been asking apparently 4 years ago, why didn't nobody notice it? Why hasn't there been any proper regulation and this sort of thing? The Queen noticed it. Everybody else noticed it. The government doesn't seem to have noticed it. And the most importantly, the regulators don't seem to have noticed it. Quite frankly, here we go again. And I don't know what to say. The whole thing's just hopeless.
Well, but the Queen actually said people got a bit lax. And then she's in trouble for saying that people got a bit lax.
I think it's a shame.
Who says she's in trouble?
Oh, there was all these journalists saying she's going to get into trouble for this.
Well, because she's apparently interfering in political affairs. I think it's jolly good. It's better that she aligns herself with the people, with her subjects, if you like, with the citizens of the United Kingdom, than with the government and the regulators. And I think that makes her a more popular monarch, and it's great. And she's got some clout. So
I really agree with that.
I think it is interesting that actually the Queen only said two things. And if your grandmother had said it, or somebody, little old lady on the street had said it, you would have totally ignored it. Mm-hmm. But because the Queen actually asked this simple question, why did nobody notice it? Which you can hear your grandmother say, why did nobody notice that? What's been going on? The whole world has taken notice of what this little old lady
brilliant.
Has said. Yeah. I think it's either brilliant or it's actually empty, isn't it?
Well, no, because I think it's brilliant. And the other thing I thought was brilliant was she said that the FSA, the Financial Services Authority, didn't have any teeth. And how right she was about that as well.
And I think she's just kicked some more out of them as well.
Yeah. don't forget, Private Eye says that FSA stands for the financially, the Fundamentally Supine Authority.
Oh, right.
And quite frankly, that's what they've been. And what's interesting is that the new organisation, the FCA, which I can't remember what stands for, the Financial Association, is by and large going to be made up of the same people.
I like pine soup. Have you ever had pine soup, Rachel?
No.
No. What is that?
It's lovely. It's called supine. Did somebody just give me a clap then?
No.
No, they might give you the clap, but.
Yes.
Oh, Rachel! You're on the punch programme now.
Good grief.
It's 11:30 p.m. here. I'm hanging on by my fingernails.
So, who would count? Well, not as good as the Queen because she's there to say it in Australia, but. Who would say something like that in Australia where it would have the same impact, Rachel?
No one.
Thank you very much. How about France?
Well, I'm sure the senior politicians wouldn't. I'm sure the senior politicians in Australia would as well, but they're not.
Yeah, but nobody would pay any attention to them.
Well, no, I don't know. I think I tell you what, it's such a remarkable statement to come from a government official that I think everybody would sit up and say, blimey. But, you know, what you'd have there is you'd have the government breaking ranks with the banks, and that's the real problem, okay, because nobody's actually prepared to square up to them, and they need a bit of squaring up to, preferably in a dark alleyway, actually.
Oh, there's lots of squaring up going on today.
A bit of bristling neck and a bit of squaring up.
Yeah, ooh. I wish you were in Germany. We could call you a square egg.
Can you feel all the testosterone going around, Rachel?
Yes, my ovaries are aching.
I'm going to send you a little test tube.
Anyway, a labourer from Abingdon, which is in the UK, was escorted out of a darts tournament because apparently he was resembling Jesus and therefore causing other players to be distracted.
I think this is disgusting.
Was he turning their beer into water or something?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
No, he was in a Watney's pub. He didn't need to do that.
Still yeah. get what?
I don't think you can, actually. I don't know. Anyway, Nathan Grindle was watching the match between champion Phil Taylor and somebody called Kim Hybrex at Butlins in Minehead in Somerset when people in the crowd began to chant Jesus at him.
But he took that as they were saying his name. I think they were just appalled. It was a statement. Jesus.
Jesus. 100 and nothing. Jesus. 180.
This guy is sitting there in with a long hair and a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all he's trying to do is watch a blinking darts match. You know, I mean, I don't know if he was up there and expected to be pinned to the board.
like a crucifixion.
Yes. Well, exactly that. Crucifixion. We'll step right this way. And
terrible. I think Britain should hold its head in shame. Yeah. But why on the run-up to Christmas, what other country would kick somebody who resembled their deity out of a pub for watching a football match? I mean, a darts match. It is ludicrous, and it shows the paucity and the lack of belief and respect that English people have towards anything other than darts, beer and fish and chips.
And curry.
And curry.
Yes.
As long as it's in a packet.
Yeah, don't forget the curry.
I wonder what would have happened if they'd started calling him Mohammed.
Yes, exactly. Oh, you stop it. You're going in the wrong places. We're not going there. The Pope has gone all 2012 on us and has been converted to tweetism.
Yes.
Pope Benedict the 16th has had his sent his first Twitter message under his handle. It's a nickname, Pontifex. That's not a cake, is it? Oh, it's Pontifact. Sorry, blessing.
Tropical cream.
Blessing his 1 million internet followers. He's only been on there 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's not many out of the world, is it? And he's supposed to be the biggest church in the world.
But he's only had 5 minutes on the Twitter sphere.
I think it's pretty interesting.
I reckon like 500,000 of those are trolls.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
There's not 500,000 bridges in the world. Where are you going to get 500,000?
Crikey. Well, anyway, the Pontiff tweeted. Hang on, I've just got to add these. Is this a real quote? Because it says it had up to 140 characters. Dear friends, I am pleased to get in touch with you through Twitter. Thank you for your generous response. I bless all of you from my heart. Well, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, I think we should follow him, you know. He's saying nice things. We might get blessed.
Not today, thank you.
Not today, thank you.
If I follow him on Twitter, I will burst into flames.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he's right. Why is the man who has a hotline to God had to go on Twitter? Why doesn't he just do what we do, get God on Skype, and then we can all have a chat?
Yep. That's probably right.
Right.
Just add him in. We can add him in if we've got enough bandwidth.
So are you saying it's back? Are you saying it's like the old song, God is a girl, as in Rachel?
That's right.
That's an old song.
I think that's disrespectful.
That's an old. God, it's a song from the 90s, is it not, Rachel?
God is androgynous.
Yes. Thank you.
God is androgynous.
God is misogynous.
What if God was one of us?
Yes.
It'd be all three of us together.
Uh-oh.
What if he was amongst us? What if God was me?
If he cast his net down now, I know what he'd catch. Anyway. Anyway, he gained more than 1 million followers in 8 languages on his account. Apparently it's in Arabic, French, German, Italian, Polish, Portuguese, Spanish, and, of course, English.
Does he put out his tweets in Arabic, French, German, Italian, Polish, Portuguese and Spanish and English?
Yes.
I said that better than him, didn't I?
No, they're translated.
Yes.
Who translates them?
The minions who do his tweeting for him.
Yeah. So he doesn't do his own tweets, so neither God nor the Pope actually tweet.
Well, he might.
They go to a building called the Tower of Babel.
You never know.
The only thing I don't understand is, why isn't he tweeting in Latin?
Probably because nobody can understand it.
Probably doesn't understand.
No, I think I think he's being clever here, boys and girls.
Really?
I do as well.
Marketing. It's good marketing.
It is, because he's going to the platform where the people are to share his message. Like us. We don't broadcast on ancient modulation AM because nobody listens to it anymore. We do digital programming because that's where people are these days. Hmm. Makes sense to me.
We still use the old methods as well.
What? What, ancient modulation?
The hamster and the bicycle and all that stuff.
Well, Frog and Muppet Mode is still kind of there, but ancient...
I'm drinking that pub.
I knew that was coming. Anyway, I think well done to Mr. Pope.
In hindsight, I think the Pope has actually done something good to bring the message of God to the world. I just think it's sad that the world has no interest and doesn't go to church to have a listen anyway.
Excuse me?
What?
Excuse me? A quick story for you.
What?
My partner Martina, her nephew gets, what do they call it, confirmed in the church.
As a human being.
You cannot get a seat. You cannot even get into the church. There's people standing outside listening on PA systems. And I was given a standing ticket so I could go at the front. And I actually
had
a ticket.
Crutches with you?
No.
They sell tickets for the church?
Yeah, because there's so many people go in that you need a ticket to get. They don't sell them. You're gifted one. And you either gifted a seating ticket or a standing ticket or an inside ticket of some calibre. And
what about a lying down ticket if you're ill?
There are so many people going to church that you just can't get in the buildings.
And church that is not free. Church is not free. There is a thing called a collection plate.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why. That's what you. How you're paying for.
Yeah,
your
but
ticket.
I always get that wrong, Rachel.
What do you put in there?
Well, don't. They say it's the collecting plate, so I take some out. I'm collecting it for me.
You collect?
Yes.
That's right. But I'll tell you what, it actually explains one thing, that when we read out that list of things, that is the reason exactly that the Pope doesn't tweet in Slovak.
Why?
Because everybody goes to church anyway.
True, but we can understand Polish.
Is the Pope Polish?
Yes.
Is this Pope Polish?
Yes.
I know a previous Pope was Polish.
Yes.
Polish Pope, eh? Yes. I love a Polish
Pope. This Pope is Polish? I thought he was a German.
I thought he was Polish.
I thought he was a Syrian.
He's a German and he was in the Hitler Youth.
I thought
he was a Catholic. He's a Catholic.
Oh, God, now look what I've done. I've created a religious war on my programme, for goodness sake.
No, well, it's just a geographical thing.
It's close.
All Rachel and Mark and me.
You talk about Poland before the war or after the war?
I don't know. Stop it.
Don't talk about the war.
Don't talk about the war. Anyway, where was I? I have no idea. Anyway, no, I think he's done a good job and good luck to him. It's just a shame that some other religious people don't sort of catch up with the real world and be normal. Because I think that's equally, as Mark said about the Queen, by doing that, you create a level of normality which is not seen by so many people. And the people that go onto Twitter now, you kind of think, well, where have you been for the last few years? Do you live in a bubble somewhere?
Is it really worthwhile, the Pope telling us what he had for breakfast and where he's going to buy his dinner?
I don't think he's going to do that somehow.
Well.
Are you a Twitter, Rachel?
I am.
What, vivaciously or just part-time?
It depends on the day.
Vivaciously.
They're always fairly cheerful, and I do like exclamation marks. So, yes, I guess they're vivacious. But it depends on the day. I can go days and days without using it.
Right, thank you very much. In the part one, boys and girls, back in a second. Do not go away.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.